Hey guys, quick last minute announcement. This Friday, October 9th, at Terminal 5 in New York City, BBQfilms.com presents The Blood Rave. To be honest, I have never been this excited over a club night in quite some time, being that I've worked in the club industry, blah blah blah. You guys know about that. It's The Blood Rave. They're recreating the scene from Blade, the very beginning. I think we've all, at one point or another, fantasized about living that moment, where, you know, they go to the club and starts raining blood and all this awesome stuff happens. So yeah, Friday, October 9th, The Blood Rave, Terminal 5, New York City. It's part of Comic-Con weekend. Look it up, bbqfilms.com. It's going to be a blast. And I forgot to mention, the Crystal Method's performing. Freaking Crystal Freaking Method's going to be there. So check it out. Friday, October 9th, Terminal 5. The Blood Rave with Crystal Method. Come on, guys. Be cool. Show up.
And I guess I got hooked on someone. Oh. Ended up pulling me down. But if it wasn't for that, I probably would have stayed up there a little bit longer. But it was cool, though. That's the only show. The only two shows where I can actually get hurt was that and then when I went to see Slayer. Slayer is the only show I ever left where I actually had bruises. I had like a couple of like rip shots in there.
Slayer and Anthrax are on my bucket list, and then that's it. I'm done.
I've seen Anthrax.
Yeah,
I never cared much to see them live.
Anthrax is awesome.
You know, it's
live.
Just I don't know. Like Anthrax, if it would have been like for like the first four albums, like I'm in.
But they like play, you know, all the
yeah, but now they're old and I'm old and I don't give a shit.
Joey Belladonna can still freaking hit those.
Belladonna, is he still trying to strategically hide his ball spot? Or
does no,
he like,
not anymore.
Does he let it go now?
He lets it go.
No, that's what I do. I'm still
hiding
my balls.
Oh, by the way, like, you guys, last time when you did the... Are you still recording?
Yeah, we just started.
We're just going way off course. When you guys were talking about the Japan thing, like, I was listening to... I've been listening to the podcast recently, obviously. Mm. And one thing Rich didn't mention was Fighting TV Samurai.
Yeah.
What happened?
They have a 24-hour channel dedicated to wrestling and fighting.
Yeah, Samurai TV.
It's called Fighting TV Samurai, and in the corner, the logo is a big S. And I was watching it when I went to Japan because my friend had satellite TV. He had cable and stuff. So the first time I stayed at his house, like, I just had that channel on the whole time.
Yeah, nice.
You know, and I turned it on. They're showing wrestling. They show also like MMA stuff and
kickboxing,
but a lot more programs that you never heard of. Like they show like women. I was watching like a whole
promotion.
I was watching a program of like all the best matches that Tiger Man was ever in. Tiger Mask. I'm calling it by the anime Italian version.
Yeah, it's funny actually. New Japan just finally got the rights to Jushin Thunder Liger. All this time, like they couldn't make. All of a sudden, they couldn't make merchandise for Jushin because the character was owned by somebody. WWE got away with it because they just said Thunder Liger.
Yeah.
Rather than saying instead of Jushin Thunder Liger. So that's how WWE was able to get over whatever. So Japan's like, wait, the hell? Wait, if they can make... WWE can make merchandise for this guy.
Yeah, we can too. We've owned that guy. He's been wrestling for us for like almost 2 decades. Yeah.
Yeah, so now that he could make his own merch, now he's going to like... Now they're going to really start making bank on that.
There you go, Jushin Thunder Liger.
So, welcome to 2 minutes later, 3 minutes later. Welcome to the Road to Tokyo Dome. I am your host, Diego Santos. With me is newly, pretty much,
the newest cast member.
Pretty much, yeah, an official cast member, Rich Ruperto.
Introduce yourself, Rich.
Hi, guys.
All right, that was very sexy. And joining us is the man who's been to Japan how many times? And introduce yourself.
My name is Corrado, and I've been there 5 times.
5 magical times. When was the last time you were in Japan?
Last time was 2005. I went there to see a concert.
See, I was going to make a joke, but now I realize I'm going there to see a wrestling show. So,
yeah, I went there twice to see 2 different concerts. But, I would love to go there to see wrestling. That's one thing I never got to see. I wanted to see either wrestling or sumo. But I was never there at the right time because I think sumo ends around September or something like that.
Sumo has a season as wrestling.
Wrestling is just whenever you're lucky enough to go. But usually whenever I went, I would usually already have an agenda. So, you know, unless I planned it before I would go to Japan, like there was no way to do that.
Yeah, my agenda is I land December 31st around 3 p.m.
On New Year's Eve you land?
I land on New Year's Eve.
You're going to be destroyed. Yeah, unless you really sleep on that plane, which I never do. I can never sleep on a plane. But
no?
If no, I'm just never comfortable enough to sleep on it. I cannot sit in... I have to be lying down. I cannot be in a sitting position falling asleep for hours. But yeah, if you can sleep on a plane, that's going to help you. Because when you get there, you know, and they're 14 hours ahead, you're going to be destroyed.
Yeah, yeah, I am going to be sleep. I sleep on planes. I sleep on any... I sleep on planes, buses, trains.
Lucky.
I sleep when I walk...
Automobiles?
Yeah. No, I can't do that. I don't fall asleep easy, man. Like, I'll doze off, but I'll, you know, I can't just, like, go into a deep slumber anywhere I am.
So I'm going to, like, spend, like, the first 7 hours cramming my learned Japanese. Like, gosh, I should know this shit already, but I don't.
Oh, you'll be okay as long as you're in Tokyo. Most shops and, most big shopping stores and, you know, most of them, like, will understand basic English and can point you to the right direction. So, it's once you leave Tokyo that the problem, you know, will arise.
Oh, yeah, I don't plan on... I am thinking about going to Cat Island.
Why?
Because I'm a crazy cat man.
Too many internet memes for you.
Yeah, I'm a crazy cat man. If my roommate wasn't allergic, I'd probably have like 6 of them. I'd get rid of the one I have now because I fucking hate her. But I would replace her with 6 more that I love.
Wow.
But yeah, I'm pretty much staying in Tokyo. Like the plan. This is the plan right now. Obviously, plans change. December 31st. I'm gonna look for an anime rave or a karaoke bar or whatever. This is first three, like, during the daytime, first three, do, like, tour stuff in the daytime, nighttime, like, party it up, and then January 4th, Tokyo Dome, January 5th, I'm gonna try to do Karukian Hall, which they call New Japan Run, and then the 6th, it's just the last day of chilling, and then the 7th, I'm flying to Munich, I'm gonna be in Munich for the night, and then eventually I make it back to Newark.
No, that's a good connection.
Yeah.
Tokyo Dome was amazing.
What?
I went there to see Kiss, dude.
You saw Kiss at the Tokyo Dome?
Yeah. I went there, because this was supposed to be their quote-unquote farewell tour. Yeah, right. And actually, I have the ticket. It actually says that on the ticket, which was purchased at 7-Eleven in Tokyo. But, yeah, I went there because it was just an excuse for me to go again.
Yeah.
And it's also an excuse for me to actually go inside the Tokyo Dome, because I only saw it from the outside. And it's so huge, man. Yeah. It's so huge. It's like, because we had shitty seats. Obviously, we were all the way on the top, all the way in the back.
Yeah.
But in order to get there, you have to actually take the stairs and go all the way up. And then, you know, it's so big that when you actually walk out, and when you walk in to go to where the bleachers are, it's like a big open area, and your ears pop like they do when you're like in the mountains or on a plane and stuff.
Oh, shit.
That's how big it is, that your ears actually pop when you to me. And I was like, holy crap. But yeah, I went there to see Kiss, man. They played without an opening act, which is great. They came on time, played for 3 hours straight, and it was amazing.
Holy.
I'm not even the biggest like Kiss fan. It was just more for the experience and an excuse to go back to Japan. But it was awesome.
How do you fly there? Like, what's your airplane of choice?
Well, I did both Japan Airlines and ANA, and both of them are excellent, and they're competitors, so they're always trying to top each other. But both of them generally have like brand new planes, and the service is really good, and the food is decent, except for some of the weird snacks they might give you sometimes. Like, they'll give you a hot dog with friggin' eggs on it, or some shit like that. But, like, when they give you, like, the regular food, like the noodles and the meat and all that stuff, like, all that stuff is good. But, yeah, the some of the snacks are questionable. And I got to do it both in economy and business, so, like, you know, I got to see, like, this. The quality is just good.
Yeah.
You know, then one time I did it the long way, because usually I went nonstop, you know. Mm-hmm. A sweet, like, 13, 14-hour flight, and you're there. But this one time I had, like, these, like, tickets in business class that I couldn't pass up. And it was to anywhere, so I chose to go to Japan. But the company was European, which means that there was a connection. You had to fly through Europe. Yeah. So I took an 8-hour flight to Milano, and then I had to take a 10-hour flight from there to go to Tokyo. So that was like, when you add it all up with the wait time.
How long was the layover?
Layover was like 3.5 hours or something like that. So shut up, you. So then at the end of the day, like by the time I got there, it ended up being like something like 20 hours of traveling.
Yeah.
And I got there, I was destroyed. You basically lose a day.
That's a recover. I'm planning on losing a day when I come back. But going there, I'm going to be fucking so pumped full of testosterone.
Yeah, you'll be pumped and then all of a sudden it's going to be like, I'm tired.
Technically, you won't. I don't think, because you're going through Europe, right?
Yeah, well, coming back, yeah.
Spending a night bar hopping in Munich. So I gotta also pick up. I gotta re up my German a little bit.
Dude, you should make sure you take plenty of video because you're not gonna remember any of this shit. Because you're gonna be the whole time.
Or hammered, or both.
You're not gonna remember any of it.
Yeah, I think I'm a terrible tourist because I almost never take photos. I take like when I did New Orleans.
Yeah.
I took a bunch, but I think I only kept like five. Five photos, and I was there. I think I took like two pictures when I was in Dallas.
Yeah, the first time I traveled, I did what everybody else did and shot every single freaking thing that you see. You know, you go home and you got like hours and hours of footage that nobody wants to see.
Yeah, pretty much,
and then you have to like
thing, yeah.
And then like me, being that I can edit it because I'm a filmmaker, so like I can actually cut it down to a decent size where somebody might want to sit down, you know, eat a bag of chip and actually watch it a little bit. But you learn, like after a while, you know, things, you start to care less and less about the things you see. Like, oh, this is something spectacular that you have to take a photo of, all right. But as far as footage, like, you know, I've traveled so much that now if I go overseas, my video will be like 10 minutes. And that's the entire trip. I only shoot like 10 minutes because there's like really nothing that amazing that you should be shooting that you can't just like already see on YouTube or on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, but it's the thing is like I feel like two people are too obsessed with, I might have mentioned this in another podcast, but where people are so obsessed in catching the photo that they're not living in the moment. And exactly. I prefer to live in the moment.
No, that
yeah.
That was like, I'm not shooting, you know, at your party. I'm not taking pictures over here and there. Like, you know, unless there's like a group photo, right, I'll take a shot and then we'll switch and then I'll go in, but whatever. But I'm not the official videographer of anyone's party anymore. Because, you know, that's what happens. You're basically watching the whole, you know, through the lens or the little screen instead of experiencing.
Yeah, so. And when I see people do that in concerts, it annoys me. It's like you just spend like, let's just say like $1,000 to see Kiss, and you're not watching Kiss, you're watching your camera. Oh, you're watching your phone, and it's not the same, and it's not, and you're not living it.
Oh no, I learned my lesson, dude. Because when I went there for that show, like I did not shoot anything, and then plus I was waiting. 2004 Japanese band that I was dying to see, and I actually ended up getting good seats because through a friend of mine who was a part of the fan club, and I was like maybe 10 feet from the stage. It was like no way I was gonna waste it like taking photos and stuff like that. Like, and I was just there with my eyes open, watching the concert and just enjoying it. And that's the difference. Like, instead of, you know, you should do less capturing and more experiencing.
Yeah, what's the name of that band?
Sex Machine Guns.
Sex Machine Guns.
which is, it's a funny story because, you know, it's one of those bands that's, like, never going to tour the States. So I was like, the only way I could see them is to go to Japan. So I found the opportunity, went amazing and unbeknownst to me, I will be seeing them again that same year in the United States.
Oh, that's the one in Memphis? Or
yeah. Later on, I found out that they were in Tennessee recording their next album. And then they decided, since all their gear is there, to just up and go to a local club just to do a little show. And it was unadvertised, but something was mentioned on their fan page. And my friend, all the way in Hong Kong, who's a fan of theirs, told me, said, hey, by the way, they're in the States and they might be playing some little club. So I called up the club directly, actually phoned it.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that band like performing? He goes, oh yeah, and they gave me the dates that they're performing. I was like, holy crap. And I was like, alright, thank you. Hung up the phone, called Rich. I was like, Rich, you wanna go to
Tennessee?
You wanna go to Nashville? He's like, why? I'm like, you know, we'll go see a concert. And he's like, well, I was like, dude, I could get you a ticket for like $200. It's like, alright, let's go. So, you know, I found a deal. I was lucky enough to find a deal. We flew there, like, just unplanned. I just got I didn't even get a good hotel. I just got one that had a free transfer to the airport. That was the only thing that was important to
That's
me.
That's it.
Because I didn't want to lose my flight. But, you know, but we ended up going, all the way to Memphis, you know. Nashville, Tennessee. And, you know, went there just for, like, what, 2 days, was it?
Yeah,
Yeah, the first night we went there, we did the one main street that they have, which is where everything else, and then the rest of the city is just dead. you know, we had some of that really heavy southern food, which is, you know, it's
barbecue.
It's no, we had like what, like double fried something?
Double fried chicken fried steak.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
Double fried chicken fried steak.
Yeah,
chicken fried steak.
But it was like
multiple frying going on there.
I mean,
this like heavy ass what was that, like a gravy that they gave you? Was this really
gravy and biscuits too?
It's basically like southern food. It was good. I mean, the you know, you can eat that.
Diego's still trying to fathom double fried chicken.
Steak. Figure it out.
Because I usually double fry my stuff.
No, I mean, it's that food is just gonna kill your evening. Whatever chair you're in, that's gonna be your evening.
That's your spot.
It'll just weigh you down. But you know, going in, it's delicious. But you know, it's the price you pay to eat that heavy. But yeah, we went there. We did the whole local thing. We ate the food. We saw the sights, and then the next day was the show. And I had, this is like, you know, back in the MySpace days. So I had like a mutual friend through MySpace
before my time.
But yeah, I had like some friend from there who was also going to the show, so that was cool because I got to meet up with him, and he was happened to be a local, so because of that, we got to go to some places that we may have missed on our own, and also we're able to get rides and stuff, which was good because it saves money.
Yeah, it makes
So that's a good tip for all of you, so you out there who might be traveling, is if you can get a friend
on MySpace.
Yeah, if you can get a friend online or a local, if you could hook up with a local there, you'll always have a much more interesting experience because you'll get to see things that tourists don't get to see. You'll get access to places that you wouldn't even think of seeing, and you know, and you might meet other people through them as well.
That's why Carl mentioned that. Big shout out to Koji, who Koji took us around. Koji-san. Koji Surakawa is his last name. We call him the coach or a coach.
I think it's Surigawa or something like that.
He took us, when I went to Japan, like in the last podcast, he showed us around, who's a friend of Corrado's, and just made freaking traveling around Tokyo much more fun.
Much easier. Cause
yeah, because you could translate, around. And he had a translator.
He took us to all the places that we could, you know.
And it helped when we were in Kyoto because nobody spoke English there.
Yeah, because Kyoto is a lot less, you know, friendly to the English signs compared to Tokyo. But we got to go around and go to other areas outside of Tokyo, which would be much more difficult to do. I mean, Tokyo you can figure out once you figure out the subway map and you figure out your destinations and how much it costs, how much the fare is going to be to get there. Like, you can figure it out. Plus, the machines are automated, so they have English menus, and you can get your ticket. And if you make a mistake, it's actually easy. Because they have the convenience of, because you need to use your subway ticket even to exit. It captures the ticket and lets you exit. If you got the wrong fare, it won't let you exit. But usually, at the end of the turnstile, there's usually a guard that will check your ticket, telling you how much is left. You pay him, and he lets you through.
Hmm.
It's extremely convenient. So even if you get it wrong, there's somebody there to help you.
Yeah, I'm thinking about just spending like a few hours just on their subway, because I hear how crazy they are.
It's just a regular subway. There's nothing special about it.
Oh, nice.
Unless you go there like at the heart of rush hour when like there's millions of people trying to get on the same train and they actually have pushers who are paid to push you into the train. But once you're in that train, you don't really want to be there.
I want to volunteer to be a pusher.
You'll be crushed.
I want to see if that's possible, if I can volunteer to be a pusher.
And also, when I went, I don't know if it's still like that now because I haven't been there since 2005, but... when I went, there was the trains were not air conditioned.
Oh wow, really?
No, and I went there even in the spring, and it was terrible. Because they weren't air conditioned, and I asked my friend who lived there, and I asked him, I was like, why don't just make it, you know, air conditioned?
You figured they're so technologically advanced.
No, but he plainly said, you know why? He goes, because people here don't complain. He goes, that's why they don't have it. He said, if more people complained, they would have it. He was real honest when he said that. He goes, you know, they just, people don't complain. I was like, that was like the first thing that came to mind is to complain. I was like, this shit, I can't imagine taking the subway like in August over there, packed, you know, during rush hour.
Yeah, how little, that's not racist, but how little are those people?
They go from little to average, I guess. They're not like, you know, deformed or anything. But amazingly enough, you'll find some tall people there too nowadays, because you know they don't. You know, people, their bodies are changing. Their way of eating is changing. Like,
I know Nakanishi is a pretty tall
guy. They're getting more and more modern. If you want to compare the Western world as modern, but they're less traditional, and their eating habits have changed. And then, of course, you got McDonald's in every corner, so I'm pretty sure they're eating just as much garbage as everyone else is.
I don't eat McDonald's here. I think I might try it out over there.
Oh, if you do, there's only one reason to do it: the teriyaki McBurger.
The teriyaki,
folks, you've heard it here.
Bring it up.
The teriyaki McBurger. Holy crap!
So good. Here we go. It's McDonald's, so obviously you're eating shit. You know, everybody knows that. You know, any fast food joint is terrible for you. But you know, when you want to spend $3 on a meal, you know, you go to McDonald's. And Japan has McDonald's. It has KFC. And it's got everything. But, I've visited, like, many countries, and it's amazing that you can go into any McDonald's in any country and get the usual, you know, Big Macs and, you know, French fries and all that. But every country has their own little item, you know, two or three things on the menu that don't exist anywhere else. And Japan has, like, meat pies and a couple other things. And one of the things that stood out to me was the teriyaki McBurger. So I was like, you know, I'm going to try it. It's the local thing. Why not? And I tried it, and it was amazing. And I was like, and it's available on nowhere else. So, like, the second or third time I went, I was like, you know, I'm going to pass by, you know, McDonald's. I'll pick one up just, you know, just for the hell of it, just to eat on my way to somewhere else. And then, one thing led to another, and that time I didn't get any. And I was like, oh, shit, didn't get an opportunity to get one. So then, like, the following time I went there, and I was like, you know what, tonight I'll go there, buy, like, two or three of them, put them in a bag and just carry them with me. And that's what I did.
Oh, man, yeah. Because I know when I was in Hungary, they have them here now, but they call them the long burgers, where it's like two burgers and a long bread. Yeah,
Burger King does it.
Yeah, see, when I went to the Burger King in Hungary, that's what they had like 10 years ago also.
So it's like the Hungry Jacks in Australia. Because I believe they don't have the rights to use the word Burger King, so the restaurants exist there, but they call Hungry Jacks. It's just hilarious because you'll see the restaurant's exactly the same, the logo is the same, but instead of the word Burger King, it says Hungry Jack.
Hungry Jack, that's pretty funny.
It's hilarious.
The McRib will be there when you go to Japan.
McRib is famous all over the place. Like, they make it almost in all the world McDonald's.
Except for here. Fuck America.
No, but it's a promo. It's always a promo. It's always a limited time. It shows up for like a month and it disappears. You know, just like it does here.
Because we used to, in our school, for our cafeteria, like every other Friday, we used to have like a McRib type thing. Did you guys ever eat school lunch or no?
Yeah, I did.
Because I don't remember seeing you guys in the cafeteria much.
No. I used to swap lunches because I never got the school lunch, but I used to swap because sometimes like they would serve like either the Friday shitty pizza in the box, or they would serve like the hot ham and cheese sandwiches with the plastic melting on the bun. And, you know, I would always have, like, the same sandwich, which was much better. I guess it was healthier. But, you know, every once in a while I would swap with someone, you know, because...
Disgusting burgers, too.
Yeah, because I was... I don't know why. Because I was a whole lot smaller back then. But I had a thing. Like, anyone who sat at my table had to give me their tater tots. Like, if you're at my table... Like, that was the price to sit on my table.
Those tater tots were probably been in existence since like the 60s.
Who knows what the fuck? Wow. I'm surprised I don't have like some sort of disease from it.
Hey, did you experience like once a year they would just like totally piss off all the kids because they would do like Health Day or Earth Day and they would switch the lunches with like you know some cabbage shit. They would give you some healthy lunch that day. And it was like the worst thing you'd ever
salad
ate.
Salad and an apple.
It was there like no, but it wasn't even like salad. It was like cabbage. It wasn't like lettuce. It was like cabbage and like, you know, or
that wasn't for St. Patty's Day.
It was like straight up. It was
sorry.
it was straight up like coleslaw, and like and it wasn't even good. Like it was just weird. Like they would always do it like once a year. They would do like Health Day or some shit like that. Did you guys ever experience that?
No, I don't remember that.
You should have, because you went to the same school as me.
Yeah, so
yeah, we all did.
We all did. That's why we're bringing it up.
Yeah, I remember that, and I remember how everybody used to hate it when they would do that.
I remember just like the hamburgers, like when you pick it up, it's like into it, it's like it's hot, but yet it's cold.
No, I never tried the burger.
Ugh, and yeah, the it shitty was pretty
bad. I only like the ham and cheese.
I did like the shitty pizza, but I'm saying we used to have McRib looking things, like almost like every other Wednesday or something.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. But it was like the McRib minus the sauce.
Oh, what school was this?
Hoboken. High.
You went to... Oh, Hoboken High. No, we're talking about Demarest.
Oh, Demarest, yeah. That was the freaking...
No, shit. Hoboken High. And I never ate. I was never in school during lunch. I would always go home because I lived nearby.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I went to Demarest too, but...
No, in Demarest. My memory is all of Demarest and with the health day and all that.
Good times at Demarest. But yeah, but Hoboken High, I guess they must have shared the same menu, but... Yeah,
it was... Nah, by the time I got to high school, I didn't want to mix with those animals, so I just stayed home.
Yeah.
I think we lost some viewership right now.
Not animals.
Nah, I'm pretty sure most of our classmates, if probably don't even know this podcast exists. Or
the ones that aren't incarcerated.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, you know, our boy Joe always makes fun of, like, oh, how bad Hoboken was, but I think the turnaround happened when I was in that school, because like I think it was bad like in 92. It was like, you know, it was like, all right, this is like lean on me type shit. But then like 93, 94.
90s, no, from like the whole 90s until maybe like 97, 98. That's when it started to get better. But it's still a terrible high school. Sorry to say that, but it is. Because a friend of mine who graduated, he refused to send his son to the school, and he still lives in Hoboken. Or actually, he was living in Hoboken, and then he moved to Hackensack. But he's like, no, I refuse to like even send my kid to that freaking school. So, not much has changed. It's probably not in the rankings of like the best high schools in New Jersey.
I thought it used to be, but I mean, I was one of the bad apples in the AP classes. This is why Joe always AP like advanced placement.
Oh, AP.
I was like
you were one of those.
Well, yeah, I was one of the nerds who used to hang out with the thugs. And
you got to tell that story that you told me about special ed.
I had a crush on this girl. She's a fellow nerdling, and I'm like, okay. And I saw her pattern. I'm like, oh, she thinks the worst of me. So it's like, I gotta change her opinion quick. So let me try to prove that I'm a good guy. So I don't know why, but we had this like a lighter that was like a kind of like a, like what do you call those things where you shock someone's hand when you shake their hand?
A buzzer.
It's like buzzer, yeah, but it was a lighter.
Oh, okay.
So I go to my science teacher, I'm like, hey.
So it's a trick lighter.
Yeah, it's a trick lighter. So I'm like, hey, we're trying to light the Bunsen burner, but I can't, so there's wrong with the lighter. So zzz, I electrocuted the science teacher. Rather than giving me detention, he made me He's like, all right, set up detention, because, you know, that's just too easy. You're going to have to help babysit the special ed kids to do to dissect pigs.
Oh, nice. Oh, no, like, cool.
No, but our special ed kids are not, like, you know, they're not, like, slow or, you know, Down syndrome or mongoloids. They were fucking criminals. So I had to babysit the criminals while they all had scalping knives to dissect pigs. And I was given my table, and I'm like, guys, you know, the girl I have a crush on is on the other side of the room. Do not make me look bad, because, you know, she already thinks the worst of me. Please, let's just cut these pigs up and let's pretend we're learning something.
And I'm laughing too, because you're giving a lot of these thugs knives to cut pigs. They probably thought, like, yo, we're gonna kill some cops or some shit like that. And like, no, the guinea pigs.
So long story short, within 5 minutes, I'm swinging a chair at these guys. Like, why didn't you that time? Yeah, so I was like, we're fighting over the pigs, and I was like taking the knives away from the guys. It was bad times, and wow. Yeah. So, yeah, our special ed, the thing is that we really went across the spectrum, because we had, you know, special ed, aka the path to prison kids,
yeah,
which sucks to say that, but that's what it was. And then we had the AP kids who, you know, they went to Stevens and fucking Harvard and all these other places, and
MIT, yeah.
So I was literally the guy living in both worlds. So okay,
but
there
rose above, and now you're here doing a podcast.
Well, and now I'm here living the life I live.
Living the life, man.
And so what'd you say about AV?
It's actually, it would have been a cool story had I been on your RoboCop segment, episode. But no, it was one of those days where I was in sixth grade. It was actually my first year here back in the States, because I was living in Europe for a while. But yeah, it was around the same time that the local Blockbuster had just received the new on VHS RoboCop. And I don't remember what happened, but the teacher like granted us like a free day, and he said, "Okay, you know, you guys can bring movies, and then I'll choose one of them, and we'll watch it." Yeah. And they had like the AV TV with the wheels that they wheel into the class that always brightened someone's day whenever they saw that. And then he goes, "All right, let's switch." And we came this close to watching RoboCop. I actually handed them the tape. It was from Blockbuster, and among other tapes, And you know, the kids were like, yeah, let's watch that. Like, all the guys like, yeah, let's watch that. It came so close, but then he took a look at the thing and saw the rating. Was like, maybe I shouldn't. It would have been so hilarious if he would have put it in right at the beginning, right when the first couple of, like, violent scenes. It wouldn't have lasted long. He would have eventually ejected the tape, but we came this close to watching RoboCop in the classroom. Now, keep in mind, this is, like, when it came out.
Yeah, sixth
VHS.
Grade.
So it's like, you know, like all a bunch of sixth graders watching, and nowadays, it would have been hilarious.
Were you guys there? Because my timeline is terrible. Did you guys already graduate when that big thing happened with that chick? These four girls jumped this one girl in the bathroom.
Hoboken High School. I was still attending.
You're still there, and like it caused a huge. That girl, eh? Yeah, I feel bad because I was actually hanging out with the girls who beat her up on the way to school. Like, I used to walk with those girls, you know.
So you were, like,
and they're the group
while they were masterminding.
And they're talking about it. But people talk shit all the time. So I just took it as that they're just talking shit. Next thing you know,
not going to do it.
Man. Yeah. And then when it went down, I was like, holy fuck.
And, like, the ambulance showed up.
And while Kool-Aid got beaten up. Kool-Aid was a fat security guard.
You got beat up or you just got hit?
No. Like,
I heard he just got hit.
Yeah, but I think he got fired. He died, too. He couldn't handle that situation because he was fucking fat. Yeah. He was Kool-Aid.
I know a lot of times people used to tease him, piss him off, and then he used to try to chase them.
He would be short of breath of, like, within 2 feet.
Oh, God. A security guard was named Kool-Aid. Yeah. So, anyway, because of that, they made us... Like, we had to go through this class. Everybody had to do this thing. I forgot what it was. It was about, like, learning respect and peace and whatever. Yeah. And the teachers didn't want to teach it.
Man.
We didn't want to learn it. So, like, it was supposed to be watching videos. AV, that's why I brought this up. It was supposed to be AV, watch these videos about, like, resolving violence or whatever. And I used to switch the tapes with ECW tapes.
Wow.
And we still, awesome. and my teacher didn't care. Yeah. So that entire month, I was trying to indoctrinate people with ECW, as barely legal as getting ready to air on pay-per-view.
That's hilarious. Wow. It's like, okay, we're going to promote peace throughout all the students, and the Sandman's getting clocked upside the head by freaking Cactus Jack.
No, it's like when New Jack first dove off the ECW crow's nest.
Oh, wow. Damn.
So we used to watch that. So we watched ECW during the thing about peace and love and whatever. That was good times.
Paul Heyman would definitely have loved that story.
Yeah, I met him once. Actually, I met him the day I met Paul Heyman at Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. The day he did the angle with WWE where he called him being Bruce from Connecticut. Like, they had a show called Live Wire, and he, which I realized, you know, like, yeah, obviously that was scripted because, like, Doc Hendricks knew immediately. Wait a minute, AKA Michael Hayes. Wait a minute, you're not Bruce from Connecticut,
weren't you?
So yeah, and I saw him at Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. I'm like, which actually a riot happened at that night. I got beaten up by I think it was John Cronus.
The Eliminators.
Yeah, because what happened? I remember. Like, now we're going to ECW territory. Like that day, I was like, oh hey, Bruce from Connecticut, and he like chuckled a little bit. The last match was the Gangsters. No, it wasn't. Yeah, the Gangsters versus Eliminators. Mm-hmm. As the Gangsters were leaving, either a fan swung at Mustafa or New Jack thought a fan swung at Mustafa. New Jack got in the fan's face, punched the guy out. A huge brawl breaks out. The locker room clears out. I remember Rob Van Dam doesn't get involved in the mayhem. He just stands on top. He comes outside and he jumps on a table and he starts looking. And I remember Shane Douglas giving him the look of death, like,
don't you do it.
No, like, why weren't you on the front lines? Because all the wrestlers were there, like, tossing all the fans out.
Yeah.
And Kutuko Scorpio grabbed my boy Sean and threw him out the venue.
Wow. Too cool.
John Cronus grabbed me. He's like, are you cool? I think John Cronus might have been a little bit like fucking, I don't know if he was working me or whatever. He was like, are you cool? I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. He's like, well, I'm throwing you. I'm like, alright, cool. And like,
as he was, to Perry Sandin, total elimination.
As he was trying to walk me out, Like, I guess he was like, all right, let me take this little, because I, like I said, I was a lot. I weighed about $110 back then. So I was like, this is easy prey. Yeah. And I'm just walking with him. And he's like, all right, I'm just going to hold you. And as he's walking me, it's like more violence breaks out next to us. And like I try to like protect John Cronus like an idiot.
Right.
I'm like, behind me. And like, I end up twisting my ankle. And it's like, and he just throws me out.
And Cronus is just looking at you like, why'd you do that, kid?
And he's and I'm like, am I idiot? I'm like, yo, like, I'm trying to protect the ECW fucking, the main event of the pay-per-view or something, you know?
That's hilarious.
And that was my very first ECW show.
Lucky, never. I never had an ECW show.
I went many times. I remember my boy Oscar. Those are three we danced. Little Guido, Spike Dudley, and maybe Super Crazy.
Yeah.
And they're fighting in the crowd. And the spot was for Tajiri or whoever to throw Little Guido, like Irish whip him in the crowd. My boy Oscar's in the way. And Little Guido puts his forearm right on Oscar and starts shoving him. Oscar's a big dude, too. And you see it on video. Like, Oscar flies, like several rows down with Little Guido. With
Guido's like, what, 5'6"?
Yeah, he's a little guy, yeah.
That's the name.
But he's a good amateur guy. But yeah, I remember I brought my dad to ECW, and he's like, oh, this is fake. Dudley's come out. It's a huge, they're just throwing shit in the ring, whatever. Yeah. And we have second row seats.
Oh,
at the end of the segment, my father ended up in the bleachers. He's just like, fuck this. Yeah, I'm going to the bleachers where it's safe.
So you could have taken him to Ring of Honor. You would have been like, oh, okay, this is ECW. At that time, it was just like, yeah, it was...
Yeah, yeah, and I brought my little sister, and I remember she was being hit on by a Mark with a Shawn Michaels shirt.
Aww.
And I'm just thinking, you know, I mean, me personally, I'm very self-conscious when I hit on girls or talk to girls, but I'm like, man, the balls of this guy to be hitting on a girl wearing a Shawn Michaels shirt, for some reason, that really annoyed me. Like
HBK with the heart.
Yeah, I'm just like...
That's
like, funny. Who's this guy talking to my, trying to talk to my sister? And she tried, you know, it's kind of weird, because she was like, oh, she pointed at me, that's my boyfriend.
At a wrestling show.
Yeah. Well, my sister looks, she kind of, you know, sharing the genes is a very attractive female, sharing the genes of Swedish.
But would you have been not so, like, pissed off if the guy was, like, wearing, like, a Tommy Dreamer or a Sabu?
No, I would not. I would have been like, okay, like, you have my blessing. But she was like, she pointed at me, oh, this is my boyfriend. I'm like, bitch! And it's like, point at Oscar, we don't do this incest thing here. But if he was wearing like a Sabu shirt, this is my boy. I'm her brother. Yeah, my blessing.
Or maybe like an Owen Hart shirt.
Yeah. This is way before. But yeah, ECW. Every ECW show when we waited online, even I don't even know why we waited online, because I was actually in Club ECW, which is guaranteed second row seats.
Yeah.
But we waited online because that was an experience in itself, and we used to always sing. Oh shit, Just a Friend.
What? Got what I need.
Yep.
Oh,
on the line, the second they'll start opening up the doors and we'll start walking into the ring for some reason, walking into the arena, we'll start singing, oh baby, you boom, 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 doo, you got what I. It was a Philadelphia thing, apparently.
That's
is there anyone doing beatbox?
No, maybe some of them might have been.
But did you actually go to the ECW arena?
Yeah, that's what this was. This was at the arena. Yeah.
Wasn't it the new album?
I don't know what it's called, but I've been to the arena so many times. Like, I was literally part of Club ECW. $400, you'd get guaranteed seats for the next four shows.
That's cool.
So we would pay the $100 constantly.
I'm looking at the old ECW videos that I have. I'm gonna be like, let's see if I can see Diego.
Yeah, the best one is As Good As It Gets. But the thing is, as I've said this on a podcast many times, I literally look nothing like I do now. if you go to the Instagram, this is happeningpodcast.com, go to my pictures. I think it's about 60 weeks ago. You'll see a picture of me and the Road Dog, Jesse James, from the WWE Network, WWE DX in New York. You'll see me trying to shake China's hand after a bunch of us, like, you know, that happened, whatever, so.
Well, now you can meet her at Chiller.
Yeah, he's going to be at Chiller, so.
Who, Road Dog or China?
China. He's going to be there.
He's going to be there. He,
whatever.
He, she.
I mean, she's a female, just with an enlarged
Caitlyn
whatever.
Caitlyn Jenner, there you go.
Caitlyn. Yeah. Joni Lohner. Yeah, yeah, poor girl. She's been through a lot.
It's going to be there, so. With Ricky Steamboat, there you go.
Yeah, done. There you go. I don't know. I'm actually a fan of China. I did see one of her adult films. It looked like there was a surprise running in it.
No, I saw that one with her and Sean Waltman. I'm sorry. Like, she looked more manly than Sean Waltman.
I didn't even know that she had done more than one. I found out later.
She did more than one?
Yeah, yeah, Vivid signed her to a contract. So
she did like with other like male porn stars. Like she actually did like films.
Yeah, like I think one was like a battle royal where they all look like parody wrestlers. It's like a Royal Rumble into her vagina.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I thought the same thing too. I thought she just
did. She like have whole, like did her thing. Vagina look like a female one? Or
I don't
look
know.
Like a freaking
fist coming out. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't look for details. Well, I just looked because you know it was you're curious. It's a celebrity. But I remember it was like her and a guy on the couch or a couch like environment, and then the chick walks in and she gives a look like what the fuck? Yeah. Like who invited the female? You know, but like you know, usually in pornography, like they know
what is this? Like they're given their home like a home for the first time.
No. It's a renovation.
Ah, they were renovating.
Like okay. The dojo has always been garbage, but now that they have more money, they decided to renovate the dojo for the students and the young boys.
We can edit this out.
We don't edit nothing on this podcast. We can
go back to the passionate discussion
we were having. No, but if anything, time. No. If you would have seen like her Playboy freaking spread, like, no, thanks. No.
Even with all
that hair brush. I think I bought that, but I never really opened it. I don't know why.
It's a good thing. I was
no, like, just sell it. Just sell it.
Yeah.
It's worth $2 now.
Hmm.
It it's went like, up in value. It used to be 75 cents.
An overly muscular chick with like fake boobs.
Was she the first or was Sable the first?
Sable was the first. That was well worth freaking every.
Because I know I got
not the China one.
I remember when the
one came out. They part of the contract is that she had to trim some of her bush because apparently her natural bush was way too big for Playboy standards, and they told her they first told her to like just get rid of it. And she said no.
Scorch the earth.
So they had to find a compromise. So what you see on those photos is a compromise of what they were trying to get her to do and what she allowed them to do. So she has like a halfway runway. Yeah. Like it's not too small, it's not too big, it's like right in the middle.
They didn't totally
might be too much for some people, but yeah. When you look at it.
So now we know what Brock Lesnar's working with.
There's a story behind it. I thought it was hilarious when I read about that.
How many times Sable went to Suplex City?
Well, many times they're married.
It just kids. Makes me think, what the hell does she have before?
Don't want to know.
I'm talking about her trim capacity. Yeah. Like what she had before Playboy made her trim.
I don't know. I'm surprised she hasn't done chiller.
Probably because she has money.
Because Brock Lesnar's like, no, you no leave house. You no leave house.
No, you stay.
It's not that deep, though. He's like, you no leave house. It's more like that.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, all these scary guys with their voices, like Mike Tyson in them. It's just like
I talk like this. Yeah,
that's Prince.
Yeah, it's funny because I recently watched a video on YouTube. Like they were showing, you know, like whenever they show like soccer players, like in Champions League, they score a goal and like they celebrate. Look on their face, like yeah. But they actually had a video. They released it of I think it was Real Madrid, and like after they scored, like there was like a guy with like a cell phone. Like recording them right at the right near the field, and like and you see them like doing that intense face, but you actually hear their voices. They're all like, woo! Like with these like super high pitched voices.
It is soccer.
Well, there was one of Triple H where he does his little thing, but they actually had the audio, and he's going. It's hilarious. It's on YouTube.
There was a Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, when he scream after he suplex somebody at WrestleMania.
No, it sounded like he was like really trying to get a big sound out, but it was like so disappointing when you actually hear
like
it.
That llama meme. Yeah, cause they did it with Taylor Swift.
But at the end of the day, Brock Lesnar goes home at Sable. There we go.
There we go. You know, she's like pushing 50, but it's okay.
Looks good.
Have you guys been keeping up with the New Japan product lately? Now that tomorrow is Destruction Intercontinental Title.
You mean the video, the live streams?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I have a subscription, so I've been following. Yeah, like not live because of the time difference, but whenever a big thing comes out, yeah, like I'll go on later and watch it.
The Destruction has happened Wednesday, which is the headline was the Never Title, and then this and tomorrow when we wake up tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's the IC title show. Oh, that's good. But I remember when you were asking me about the network, you kept asking me about all the death matches. I'm like, no, New Japan doesn't do that. No. You're like, are they gonna have?
That's big.
Are they gonna have the barbed wire match? I'm like, no, that's not New Japan. No. But what about the exploding ring? No, that's not New Japan. Like I'm telling you, New Japan is wrestling.
No, that's not New Japan.
Yeah, I know. Now, if only they could get Big Japan to do streams, that would be awesome.
I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of that kind of wrestling. I don't know what else to get.
No, but you know, that's something. To tell the truth, I got into wrestling much later than you guys did because, you know, I always found that stupid. But it's entertaining as hell. So that's basically why I like it. And also, like, you know, like you like, just like a cartoon, like you pick your favorite characters and you follow them. You know, but those, like those Big Japan thing with the exploding face matches and all that.
Yeah.
Like, that's something that, you know, I don't sit down and watch wrestling on my own. Like, it's something I watch with friends. But that's something like you have to watch with like a group of people because it's just going to be hilarious.
Yeah, cause like I feel like there's no such thing as a bad wrestling show when you go live. Even if the show sucks live, something about being there, you're just like you're having fun. Either it's a good show where you're like, wow, you appreciate it, like you're watching like an Oscar film, or you're there and you're like, it's fucking Mystery Science Theater 3000, yeah. But live. And like
that's basically what most of our gatherings are.
And that's what the Ring of Honor event that happened at Coney Island was. It was a mixture of both, but some 5-star matches because they incorporated New Japan Pro guys. So yeah, but as far as like anything New Japan
went on a lot longer than I thought it was going to. Yeah.
Anything New Japan? No, I usually get my information from you. You'll text me and be like, "Oh, this is gonna be on. It'll be on YouTube."
Yeah, because I mean, it looks like the main event is gonna be Tanahashi versus Okada, Part 3. So
not the trilogy.
So I don't know how I feel about that, but you know, I'm trying to figure out what's gonna be the IC title match, because we're figuring that shit out tomorrow between Goto and Shibata. I mean, no, Goto and Nakamura.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Nakamura, I found out about him a little bit later, obviously, but yeah, like, he's badass, man. I like watching him wrestle. I like his whole attitude, and you know, it's like, it just goes back to what I said before. It's very entertaining. And this guy too. What's his name?
Kenny Omega.
Yeah, he became part of the Bullet Club.
Yeah, I'm not.
And like now he's like a bad guy and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The fact that he just won the lightweight title again, junior heavyweight title again. I'm not. I was hoping that it'd be a Kushida versus Alex Shelley at the Wrestle Kingdom, because they're, you know, they're tag team partners or whatever. But I think they're just gonna put. They're probably just gonna put the time splitters in a multi-man junior tag match.
Because I don't think they would want to break up the team, but if they did,
not break them up. But no, but they could still wrestle each other because they were scheduled to wrestle each other at the Best of Super Juniors. But Shelly got hurt, so Shelly couldn't have that match. So I figured they were gonna do that. He's gonna hit this bomb. Oh, reversal, yep. Bloody Sunday.
We have Japanese wrestling on in the background. Even though the two guys right now, neither one is
Japanese,
yeah. But you know.
Yeah, right now the lightweight title is.
But it's just more
junior heavyweight.
It's much more entertaining than the American wrestling. It's just
because
it's more.
It's literally keep it simple, stupid.
No, but not only that, but it's also the contact is much more. It's much harder.
It's that strong style.
It's much harder, and then the action is much faster, and the wrestlers themselves are much more athletic. You know, there's less 60-year-old muscle gut guys.
Yeah, because what it is that it's very simple. Wrestler A is putting his body on the line because he wants to be a champion. That is it. You know, I know it sounds stupid. Keep it simple, stupid. But, like, you know, like if you watch WWE, I said this many times. Like Adam Rose, you know, I think, you know, I don't want to bash the guy personally, but I'm talking about the character they've given him. Why is he there? Why is he putting his body on the line? It makes no sense.
Just be a mid-carder for like forever.
Not even to be a mid-carder, but why, like, you know, wrestling is a dangerous business. Why are you putting your body on the line? Like, you know, New Japan, it makes sense. You know, this guy, you know, Kushida wants to be the junior heavyweight champion. That's why he's putting his body in line. The Taguchi wants to be junior heavyweight champion. That's why he puts his body in line. Everybody puts their body in line for a specific reason.
But you want to be the best.
But in WWE, it's just like, I'm just here, and that's it. And that's why. Like, there's the disconnect. It makes no sense. Like, I have no connection to any of the wrestlers nowadays. Like, the only, like, you know, Seth Rollins and John Cena.
Wow.
Not even to, you know, I'm not a Cena hater. But John Cena's character is, he wants to be a good influence for the kids. He wants to be the best for the kids. So, you know what?
Hulk Hogan!
So that's why. So you know what? That's why he wrestles, and it makes sense. You know, Seth Rollins wants to be the best. That makes sense. But everyone else is like, oh, I'm just here chilling, and that just doesn't
the paycheck.
Yeah, and that doesn't make sense. So it was like, you know, and
it's the thing with WWE. They're more into character development instead of like this the pure wrestling. And New Japan's
but there is no character development. That's the problem. It's like what? Like there is no why. And that's the problem with WWE is there is no why. It's just, you know, like, you know, Stardust is a crazy guy. Why? Why is Stardust wrestling? Why are the Ascension wrestling? Why is anyone wrestling? And that's the problem. There is no why are people wrestling.
But in New Japan...
We all know the why.
Yeah.
You know, they have different reasons, but it's essentially the same thing, which is to be the best. And that's it.
Well, I think the thing with Stardust is it's family tradition. Because he came from a wrestling family.
Like, you have to make that assumption.
I think everybody knows already.
No, but you have to make that assumption on your own. Right now, he's just acting crazy. Oh, I'm a crazy supervillain.
Yeah.
And I hate superheroes. And it's just like, okay, we get that, but why are you wrestling? Like, don't you be Intercontinental U.S. champion, tag champion? Yeah. Do you want to do anything?
At least, like, somebody that is trying to bring in that is Kevin...
Owens. Yeah, Kevin Owens is another one. Exactly. People know why he fights, because he wants to make money to feed his family.
Yeah.
And he's a bad guy.
And he's a great bad guy. Probably, like, one of the best like heels working right now in the WWE. His stuff in Ring of Honor was even more epic. Definitely you should check that out if you guys have the time.
They actually just asked the chairman of New Japan, if you could pick three wrestlers to cherry pick from WWE, who would you pick? And he didn't even blink. He goes, I just need two. Dolph Ziggler and Cesaro.
Wow. And I would take Cesaro instantly because...
And people are like...
Take those Ring of Honor guys, man. Those Ring of Honor guys are freaking the ones that are still keeping, like, the wrestling aspect and not being so entertainment-wise. And that's my beef with the WWE. It's
not entertainment.
I'm not anti-entertainment.
We don't want the soap opera.
No, it's not even that. It's just, like, I'm gonna say it one more time. Because, like, some angles might need the soap opera, but it needs to make sense. And long story short... Why are these guys fighting? Sometimes the soap opera does give us that reason. Like the Lana and Rusev, in theory, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fan of it, but you know what? It does get a reaction from the crowd. Because you know what? People like drama.
But it's a lot of recycled drama.
Yeah, but like I said, it still gets a reaction.
Bro, there's only so much you can do at wrestling, you know. It's basically been the same thing over and over. It's like one's the bad guy, one's the good guy, then one has a woman, the woman, then, you know, then there's loyalty, respect, yeah, and
but
dishonor, and you diss this one, you diss that one.
Then a new girl gets brought in.
Then yeah. One guy gets betrayed at the end of the match, and then one guy switches sides, and so it's the same thing.
And how is it that Tom Ryan is not a wrestling writer? We'll never know. See, because that's
what he doesn't need to be.
But yeah, it's just like the whole soap opera.
America's sweetheart, Thomas Ryan.
It's just the whole soap opera aspect. It's been done. It's just like, ugh. With New Japan, they don't really have that soap opera aspect.
No, and I mean, they did a little bit when you could tell, like, they let the Bullet Club, like...
Yeah, that's probably the only thing that's...
And, you know, they had, like, Carl Anderson have a crush on Maria, and that was kind of goofy.
The whole hypnotic thing,
yeah. Bullet Club has to...
Hey, guys, quick last-minute announcement. This Friday, October 9th, at Terminal 5 in New York City... BBQFilms.com presents The Blood Rave. To be honest, I have never been this excited over a club night in quite some time, being that I've worked in the club industry, blah, blah, blah. You guys know about that. It's The Blood Rave. They're recreating the scene from Blade, the very beginning. I think we've all, at one point or another, fantasized about living that moment where, you know, they go to the club and starts raining blood and all this awesome stuff happens. So, yeah, Friday, October 9th. The Blood Rave, Terminal 5, New York City. It's part of Comic-Con weekend. Look it up, bbqfilms.com. It's going to be a blast. And I forgot to mention, the Crystal Method's performing. Freaking Crystal Freaking Method's going to be there. So check it out. Friday, October 9th, Terminal 5, The Blood Rave with Crystal Method. Come on, guys. Be cool. Show up.